Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In a tweet this morning, President Trump compared House Democrats' impeachment inquiry to a lynching. On Fox News, White House spokesman Hogan Gidley defended the president.
The president wasn't trying to compare himself to the horrific history in this country at all. What he was trying to point out clearly was that he has been attacked relentlessly by the mainstream media without cause, without evidence, since the day he took over in this office.
Trump's language, his use of this language, which is associated with the history of lynching of Black Americans, comes as the top American diplomat in Ukraine testifies behind closed doors about what he knows regarding allegations that Trump requested Ukraine investigate Democrats for him. Joining us is Susan Davis, NPR congressional correspondent. And Sue, first of all, this tweet comparing the inquiry to lynching, Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy spoke this morning. And he distanced himself from the language and then went on to blame Democrats on the handling of the inquiry.
That's not the language I would use. It's very clear that what the Democrats are doing here does not go across, does not have due process. It's not fair in the process. It's not something that this House has done ever in the past.
Susan, what's been the reaction specifically to this tweet?
Well, among Republicans, I think you've heard a lot like McCarthy there saying they didn't approve of the language, but that they believe that the president has a point. Other allies of the president, senators like Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, have gone even further to defend the use of the word lynching itself, saying this is a lynching in every sense. That's what Graham told reporters. This is un-American, was what he added. You know, I think it speaks to how partisan the moment is, because you have a very different reaction across the other side of the aisle. You have many members of the Congressional Black Caucus condemning that language, saying it is painful and hurtful language, and some even raising the question of whether the House should vote to condemn the president's words.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, let's talk about the testimony now. Acting Ambassador to Ukraine William Taylor is testifying today, as I mentioned. He's the diplomat who tweeted to another diplomat, quote, "I think it's crazy to withhold security assistance for help with a political campaign." That was something of a bombshell because the president denied there was a quid pro quo on aid to Ukraine. What are you expecting Taylor to say under oath today?
Right. And that text message was in an exchange with Gordon Sondland, one of the president's appointed ambassadors who testified on Capitol Hill behind closed doors last week. We aren't getting much out of this testimony because it is happening behind closed doors. It's happening in private where they're being questioned mainly by staffers, although members are witnessing much of the proceedings. We have talked to a couple of members who have been in the room and have come out today. They have been sort of advised not to tell us too many of the details. But one Democrat, Almy Barra, a Democrat from California, said that Taylor has been, in his words, pretty candid, that he's being very forthcoming in his testimony and telling everything he knows. Another Democrat, Andy Levin, he's a freshman lawmaker from Michigan, came out and told reporters he classified his testimony as something that has contributed to, his word, his most disturbing day in Congress so far. So it sounds like it is a fairly compelling testimony from a key fact witness in the impeachment inquiry.
Okay. There are so many names and actions to keep track of.
It's hard to follow.
Also,
I know.
I know.
It's very hard to follow. It's hard to follow for all of us doing it day by day. So I know it's very hard for people on the outside to keep track as well.
Yeah, but trying to get it straight for listeners, there are news reports today that diplomat George Kent told lawmakers last week that Trump's thinking on Ukraine was influenced by conservative Hungarian president Viktor Orban, who is an ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin. What more can you tell us about that?
Now, there have been media reports in The New York Times and The Washington Post that in just days before a key meeting in Ukraine, President Trump had a meeting at the White House with Orban. And this meeting happened at the objection of people like John Bolton, his former national security advisor, and another former top NSC official, Fiona Hill, another woman who has testified to the impeachment inquiry, saying that it was a bad idea because Orban held many negative views about the Ukraine that were not in line with U.S. policy. Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney greenlit that meeting. He was fine with it. What we know of that meeting is that Orban did share with the president many negative views about Ukraine, about their government there, and leading many people to believe that it sort of validated the president's suspicion and concern about the Ukraine government and wanting them to press them to do these types of investigations.
Okay. Massachusetts Democrat Stephen Lynch says that we are getting closer when we talk about how the Democrats might call for a vote on impeachment. What's next in terms of evidence gathering?
You know, they have the Chairman Engel said today there's a few more witnesses they want to hear from. The thing I hear mainly from Democrats is that they would still like to wrap up this work by the end of the year, although no one is willing to put a hard timeline on it. As House Speaker Pelosi said, the truth will be the timeline.
Yeah, that's the question we're all asking. Thank you so much, Susan Davis, NPR congressional correspondent.
You're welcome.